many of you, basically, when I'm unpacking a bag at a hotel, I'm the type of guy who the bag starts in the corner of the room and the room's clean. And the longer I'm in the hotel, the more my stuff spreads out and the less clean everything is. And it just gets bigger and bigger. And when I got married, I found out that some people, when they go to hotels, there's these things called drawers that are there. And like they actually take their clothes out of their bag and put them in the drawers, which totally novel to me. Never considered that as even an option. So how many of you are like that, though? Do you actually use the drawers in the hotel if you're staying for a little? Some of you guys. So here in a minute, I'm going to get us to kind of an extreme, kind of funny fictional story of how far that could go, organizing. But then it's going to set us up to understand a passage that we're going to read in the Bible about our priorities. And after we talk a little bit through that, then we're going to talk actually about how imagining you had a fire at your house could help you change the way you schedule your time, strangely enough. Okay, still talking about priorities. And at the very end of today, we're going to write out an action plan. I really love that when people get specific about their own lives. What are they going to do next? Okay, so that's where we're headed. Here's my kind of silly story about the hotel, taking it a little too far. I'm going to a conference with a few other pastors here at the end of the month, and me and three other guys are going to share a hotel room, and we've got this rental car that we'll be driving back and forth to this conference. So imagine the first day, everyone's getting up, and I remember this thing about drawers, and so I say, like, I know you guys are all ready to go, but wait 15 or 20 minutes while I set everything up, organized, so it'll really help me be more relaxed for the conference. Well, honestly, I don't know these guys very well, and they're pastors, so they're probably kind of hopefully nice, you know, and so, like, I bet they would indulge me, and we'd just all be late the first day of the conference. But then imagine if second day of the conference, I say, you know, it's kind of dirty in the hotel. They haven't cleaned it as well as they should. I'm going to just drive you guys to the conference and come back and clean up so we all have a really relaxed time when we get back. They'd be like, you're the weirdest person we've ever met, Jake, but okay. Then the third day or so of the conference winding down, and I say, well, you guys just go ahead and go to the conference. I've got to take down this wallpaper in this room. Like, it's just stressing me out. It's ugly. We're going to tear it all down and paint the room. At some point, probably before we get to that point, one of those guys has got to pull me aside and be like, Jake, the room doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. You're here for 3 days, 4 days, whatever. Like, forget about the room. It does not matter. Now, if they said the room doesn't matter, it's an overstatement, okay? Like, there's a reason you get a hotel room. It serves a purpose. But you could see how I've gotten my priorities so upside down that someone just says, like, just forget all about that other stuff because you traveled here for this conference and you're missing the whole thing because of your hotel room. Now, if you've been a Christian for a little while, if you said, yes, I believe in Jesus and I want to follow him, you probably don't have to take too much thought on how is our life and eternity and here on earth, how does it compare to this hotel room story? If you think about, you know, Josh Monk and Whispering Daniel talk to us about, you know, one little hair of this carpet is like our life on earth if this whole stage was eternity. I mean, that's to steal from them, you know. So the hotel room for just a few days, it's like our life here on earth. And some of us, I think a lot of us, can miss the reason we're here because we're tearing down wallpaper to make ourselves more comfortable. I mean, has anyone ever gotten themselves in a mess because they were just worried about being comfortable? I mean, yeah, a lot of people, yeah. We heard about some of that downstairs. Okay, so let's read a passage, and the passage is extreme, but he's coming at an extreme way because a lot of us are missing the most important thing in our life. So the passage is going to use a Greek word. It's what our series is about. It's kairos, okay? It's our final week in the series. The first week we talked about kairos is this opportune time from God and how Jesus came right now to satisfy us. He said, right now, come to me, anybody who's thirsty, and I'll let you drink. Now's the right time to come to me. So that was our first week. Last week we looked at this time. Now's the right time to be loving to other people, that God's given us a window of opportunity to love others. And how many of you did something different to love somebody last week that you wouldn't have done otherwise? So when we look around, though, we got to do a little better next week, though, right? So look around, and that's a fourth of us or something, which is great. But if you don't raise your hand, then you got to think like, okay, Jake, do better this week. So, you know, or I got to do better. So we go out and do something different. So Kairos is going to come up one more time, one more verse. This is Paul talking. He says, what I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. When he uses the word time there, he's using Kairos again. Says, our window of opportunity here on earth is short. God's given us a chance to do something that matters, but it doesn't last, you know, our life doesn't last very long. And our chance to do something with God isn't just an open offer forever, okay? Now, here's the context of 1 Corinthians 7. If you've never read it before, it's kind of a strange chapter. It's a chapter about marriage, primarily, and it talks about some advice about husbands and wives treating each other well, and it gets into sex and all sorts of details about married life. But about halfway through the discussion, Paul starts talking about that sometimes when people get married, they get so focused on pleasing their spouse that Jesus takes a back seat in their life. And what we're going to read today, it's going to talk to us about how all sorts of good stuff in our life can distract us from the best thing in our life. So just like a pastor in that hotel room might have come to me and said, like, Jake, the hotel room doesn't matter. It's not technically true. What Paul's about to read, what we're about to read from Paul, it's not technically true. This stuff does matter. But he's saying compared to having a good connection with Jesus and doing what Jesus wants, this stuff doesn't matter. Okay, so let's read what he says. Second half of verse 29, he says, from now on, those who have wives should live as though they do not. Now, this doesn't mean I should go home today and act like Chrissy's invisible and act like I can't hear her. You know, it's not going to be a good day for anybody, particularly me, if I do that. So that's not what it's saying. But the passage is actually right around this time. He's talking about when you're single, if you choose to be single and not get married, it's easier to keep your focus just on God. And the way, when he says easier, that what he means is, I was having a conversation with somebody in my small group on Wednesday, and they were talking about when they were in prison, they were forced to have a very simple lifestyle, and it was easy to keep their focus because they didn't have a lot of distractions. What Paul says here is you could choose very nobly to say, I'm going to be single because it's easier to just keep one focus. I'm just trying to please God every day. He's not saying you can't be married. Obviously, if you're already married, Paul talks about you should stay married in other parts of the Bible. Keep that commitment. And even in this chapter, he talks about how to do marriage well. But your marriage doesn't matter compared to your relationship with God. That's the extreme that he's gotten to here. It's like God should come so far above any relationship in your life that your marriage doesn't distract you from God. And he's going to kind of say the same thing with other things that are also good things, like marriage. He says, those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy as if they were not. Now, this doesn't mean we're supposed to be robots. In Romans 12:15, Paul talks about we should rejoice with people who rejoice and be sad with people who are sad. But what he's saying is, even if something terrible has happened in your life, that sadness shouldn't get in the way of you connecting with God. And even if something great has happened in your life, you shouldn't let all that excitement keep you away from God. It says, those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. So just like none of us remodel our hotel room, sometimes we get so busy taking care of this junk that we've bought that we lose sight of what's really important in our life. Those who use the things of this world as if not engrossed by them. So when we're on our phones, or when we're in our car, or wherever we are, our day shouldn't just be like, well, whatever's happening in this thing, that's what defines my day. If your phone breaks, it shouldn't ruin your whole day. If some sort of letter comes in the mail about something to do with money or something like that shouldn't ruin your whole week. But for a lot of us, we run around from thing to thing to thing, bouncing all over the place, and God's way back on the back burner. Like, we don't have a four-burner stove. We have, like, a 32-burner stove, and, like, way back in the back somewhere is Jesus and the Bible and all of that. So I want to talk a little bit more about how does this work with a married couple, because that's where Paul takes it in the next few verses. I'm going to kind of give you the Jake Taylor summary, but you can look it up yourself if you want to in chapter 7. He says, when a husband and wife get together, nothing against a husband and wife being together. Marriage can be this great thing that reflects Jesus. But he says, a lot of times they want to please each other so much, and it can get overwhelming. So here I'm imagining the scene. The guy is trying to make the budget work for the family, and he's stressed because it's not working because he wants to get a nicer car for his wife, and he can't pull it off with his second job and blah, blah, blah. And the wife's stressed because and trying to help him because she sees him stressed. And you see how when a marriage goes through something hard, it's very easy to get, like, consumed. All I'm thinking about is this other person and trying to help them. And all they're thinking about is taking care of me and trying to help me. Now, there's a lot worse marriages out there than this of, like, oh, man, they think too much about each other. There's a lot of worse problems. In the passage we're reading today, there's a lot of worse things you can do that keep you away from God. But today, I think it's something we all need to face, is that even good stuff can become too big of a deal in our life. Even maybe your most important relationship, your relationship with your spouse, can become too big of a deal in your life if it's hindering what God's doing to connect with you. And it's not that you run out and get a divorce. It's that you need to change and give God his time first so you can be a good spouse. Okay, so we're going to sum it up. Paul sums it up better than I can in verse 35. So we're skipping down to there. He says, I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you. So he's not saying don't get married. He's certainly not saying get a divorce. But he's saying that you may live in a right way in what? Undivided devotion to the Lord. Søren Kierkegaard, I'm actually mispronouncing his name. Bob has read a lot of his books. Most of you probably never heard of him. He wrote a book called The Purity of Heart is to Will One Thing. Like, what does it mean to be pure? It means you're one thing. Pure gold is just gold. Pure silver is just silver. Kierkegaard says a pure heart just wants God. When Jesus told us the greatest commandment, he said the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. We're supposed to give it all to God. And after we've done that, then we love our spouse, not because we need them to like us. We love them because we've received love from God. And it's the right thing. We're treating them not out of a neediness, but out of a generosity. We treat our kids right, not because we really need to be their best bud to fill some hole in our heart. We treat our kids right because they're a great responsibility that God's given us, and we love them. We do right by all this stuff that we have because we've connected with God right first. Now, I see a lot of nodding heads as I talk about this stuff. I think a lot of us, we come to Jesus, we've realized, I can't do it on my own. I make a mess of things on my own. And Jesus offers us, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, he says, come to me and I'll satisfy you. And a lot of us take him up on that offer. We say, yeah, I want some of that, Jesus. Where we fail is at this undivided devotion. We're willing to give Jesus a little bit of our life. We're not willing to say, if that heats me back from Jesus, I'm cutting it out of my life. If that slows me down from Jesus, I'm not going to do that. Or I'm going to change it. I'm going to give him my best and give everything else my second. So I want to tell you a little analogy to help us kind of think through this. Imagine you're waking up, God forbid this happens to anyone tomorrow, but imagine you wake up tomorrow, in the middle of the night sometime, early tomorrow morning, you see this scene. You got the bed kind of in the bottom left. You can hardly see the drawers over there my wife has taught me to use. And then you got this fire, though, and all this smoke. Now, if you woke up in that scenario, what are some of the thoughts running through your head? there's a panic, but where's my wife at? That's a good thought. Where are my babies is even a better thought, okay? And so the show that came on right after the Super Bowl, my wife really likes it. It involved a scenario where a dad wakes up and he tries to get his kids out of the house, and then he goes back into the burning house and gets like a dog and some photo albums or something. So as soon as the fire starts, suddenly like the wallpaper doesn't matter, the floors don't matter, the dirty dishes don't matter, the unpaid bills on the counter don't matter, right? Right away, it's just, I got to get my kids, I got to get these very, very few things and get them to safety. Now, this is kind of a silly example of a family. This is 1950s perfect family that was staged, you know. But let's say for the mom, if she was in that burning building situation, she would say, oh, got to make sure my husband is okay. Got to make sure little Jimmy and Janie or whatever these kids' names are, you know, I got to make sure they're okay. You know, this silly prepackaged family. But that's what she would say. And that's probably what she would do if there was a fire. But there's a reason most families don't sit around a table and just smile at each other. There's a reason like this doesn't happen normally. It's because the reality for the mom is the things she's most concerned about for today are checking her phone and trying to stress about that loan on the truck that she bought that maybe she shouldn't have bought. And all these people in the left corner, I love that picture. I don't know if you can see it where you're at. It's all these very random people giving approval. And a lot of us spend a lot of time trying to get people we don't even know very well to somehow think we're cool or think we're great. Or give us a little thumbs up. And so, yeah, I didn't really talk to Janie. I didn't really help Jimmy with his schoolwork. I wasn't nice to my husband, who I didn't name before, because I was looking at my phone, and I was stressed about this bill, and I was worried about getting likes on Instagram or something. And so suddenly, like, the family dinner doesn't happen, or at least it doesn't happen the way it was supposed to, because this is what's really important to the lady, based on how she spends her time. How she spends her heart. See, the fire in your house test is actually a pretty easy test when it comes to like what's important. Most of us are facing a much more challenging test every day of our life. Like, here's 1,000 options for your time and for your heart. Are you going to actually give your time and your heart to the things that matter? Or are you going to make your life about those things? So there's nothing wrong with the phone. There's nothing wrong with the truck. Although I think that's a Ford, so some people here don't like that. You know, Eric is like, there's something wrong with that. But maybe there might be something wrong with trying to make the crowd of people like you, to be honest. But none of us would run into a building for that truck. None of us would run into a burning building, or hopefully not. None of us would run into a burning building to check our phone. Hopefully not again, too, I guess. But a lot of us will let our family wither and die as far as relationally over some of this sort of junk. Now, if that's our family who we have to see and look at and talk to, if we don't give them the priority we're supposed to, how much are we doing with God? Who in one way is like all around us and impossible to ignore. He gives us breath every second. But in another way, like he never pushes you and says like, hey, spend time with me, like a little kid might. So that's what Paul's talking about when he says you should live like a single person. You should live like somebody who's not upset, or like someone who's not obsessed with their stuff. He's basically saying live almost like you're in prison where like you don't have anything except me. Live like that. Whether you have a whole lot of stuff or a little bit of stuff, live like I'm all you've got. Now, again, easier said than done. How many people think, like, I want to give an undivided heart to Jesus? How many people are in for that? Okay, so that's a lot more hands than did something loving this last week, though. So today we're going to do some writing to help us actually do something about what we're talking about. Okay, so you've got a pad of paper in front of you, hopefully. If you're on the front row, you might have to borrow from a friend. behind you, make friends with somebody, but you should have a little notepad right in front of you. Share pages with people next to you. You might have, Brian, you might have to nudge John, you know? So get a piece of paper out and make this little grid. Got kind of six boxes, okay? And I know some of you right now are looking at me and you think, like, I like to think through stuff. I don't really like to write it down. Just humor me. Write it down, okay? It makes my self-esteem a lot better when I look out and see people writing, okay? So just be generous, okay? So we want a 1, 2, 3 on the left-hand side, and then you're going to say a yes and a no, okay? So you're going to wind up with six boxes. A yes and no at the top, line in the middle, and then a 1 with a line, 2 with a line, and then a 3, okay? So make that little grid. I'll make it 2. I won't make you guys do something I won't do. Okay, you guys good? Some of you are still writing. And you're looking for pens or something, maybe? Yeah, you can borrow and trade from friends. Yeah, okay, there you go. So here's the thing. On the yes side is what we're going to fill out first, so don't even worry about the no side right now, okay? So on the yes box for number 1, time to get creative. I want you to think about if the only thing you really had to worry about in the next 24 hours, the only big thing you cared about was time with God, connection with God, relationship with God, pleasing God even. We'll kind of throw it out there, okay? If you said, all that matters to me is Jesus, what's one thing you would do in the next 24 hours? Okay? This could be something that takes 15 minutes. If you know yourself and you're like, I'm not going to put something big there. I'm going to put something small. Okay? Something small that you'll do is okay. But big or small, write something in that number 1. The next 24 hours between now and 11:50 tomorrow, what's one thing you would do if you loved Jesus with your whole heart? Now, keep thinking, keep writing. I'm going to give you my example. It's not because it's better. It's just because I don't want to make you guys go with the mic. So what I wrote down is just to worship God. And so I've got this cardboard box in my basement full of candles that I normally pull out to do like little like romantic dinner with Chrissy, you know, like boom, there's a bunch of candles. So that's what I have it down in the basement for. It's a good idea, guys. Just help your future self out. You don't have to always be, you know, just set yourself up for the future, you know, do stuff like that. Put a cardboard box of candles in the basement. Sometimes, though, we need help even being good to our spouses, but sometimes you can use that same stuff and connect it with God, okay? So going to pull those candles out, light some of those candles, and do a little worship time with God. Put some worship music on and just say, like, I want to spend time telling you how great you are, God. So that's what I wrote. You could write something totally different, but write something down, okay? Number 2, okay, we're moving on. So keep writing, keep with me. Number 2 is in the next week, so between now and next Sunday morning, what's one thing you would do if you love Jesus with all your heart? Something you're not already doing. Maybe you're already reading your Bible every day. That's great, but something you're not already doing. All of us have room to improve. Christian here on the front row, he's thinking about it, he's filling it out. All of you guys be thinking, writing stuff out. The thing I wrote for number 2 is talk to 3 people about Jesus. I don't know exactly how that conversation will go, but I need to at least bring Jesus up to 3 strangers. When I'm really excited about something, when I love something, I talk about it. My poor wife and sister-in-law had to listen to me talk about SpaceX and this, like, space exploration stuff over dinner the other night just because I was excited. I knew they didn't care, But I was excited, you know. So not hopefully I won't just jam Jesus down people's throats, but three people, honestly, like, I'm not super great at talking with total strangers, so that's a push for me, though, to say, like, I just want to bring Jesus up and have a conversation that involves Jesus, okay? Yours can be totally different. Maybe you're like, that's easy for me. I tell 75 people a week. Well, then come up with something different for you. But okay, so we did a day and a week. So number three is going to be this next month, okay? So between now, John knew it. So between now and March 11th, if you love Jesus with your whole heart, what would you do? What's one thing you would do? I mean, maybe there's lots you could do, but what's one thing you would do? And you can get a little more creative with the whole month. You can do something fancy. But what's one thing you would do? So for mine, I wrote something kind of strange. I said, write a parable. You're like, what is that about, Jake? Well, if you've been coming to Maywood for years, you might remember, like, I told these really crazy stories about, like, a kid with a raccoon and a hat or a blue knight. I don't know if you guys remember any of that stuff. But those are parables that I made up because I really love writing, like, creative writing. But if you've been coming for the last year or so, you might have noticed, like, Jake, you don't do that anymore. I've honestly let myself get too busy, and I haven't done any writing for a long time. So my thought is, something I love to do, I can tie that in to something about Jesus and do it. So for you, maybe you're like, writing sounds like the worst idea to me ever, Jake, but maybe you love to cook. How could you do something with Jesus around that? Or maybe you love cars, or maybe you love, I don't even know what you love, but you know. So maybe something like that. Okay, we've got about 5 minutes, and I'm going to use this time well, okay? So we do have to do this no column, though, okay? What's the no column? Here's a very important life tip. This one's free. You can take it home, put it in your pocket, keep it with you, okay? Keep it close. Whenever you say a big yes to something, if that's going to succeed, you need to say a big no to something else, okay? Here's the truth about every single person in the room. Every single person used every minute of last week. You all did it. I don't even have to know your name, and I know you used every single minute last week, okay? Whether you slept 12 hours a night, or whether you worked 96 hours last week, whether you bowled 75 games of bowling, I don't know how you spent it, but all of us used it all. So it's foolish of us to just say, I'm going to jam in an extra 3 hours or something, and it's going to fit somehow. I don't know if you knew this, Jake, but next week's going to have an extra 3 hours in it. Like that's not how the week works. You know, like, if you're going to actually change to add something, then you got to take something out, okay? So here's what I want you to do on the right side. You already know the time frames, and you already know what you're supposed to be doing. If you were going to do it, what would you cut out so you could do it? For instance, my number one, worship tonight with the candles and all that set up. Normally, the way my Sunday evening will go is, like, put the kids to sleep around 7-ish or so. And we get done with that. Normally, the kitchen's a disaster. Go wash dishes, and Chrissy cleans up other things around the kitchen. We kind of tag team it. And then we typically veg out, or I work on some other project. So tonight, Chrissy, so one of the nice things about being trustworthy, like, when I tell Chrissy, like, hey, I'll wash the dishes later, like, she can believe that I will actually do that. So I'll tell Chrissy, like, I'm going to wash the dishes later, and I'm going to go do this worship thing, and she can join me if she wants to. That would be great. So if I tell myself, oh, I'm just going to do that later, it won't happen. I will get to the dishes eventually, okay? So if I say I'm not going to do dishes right now, I'm going to worship. Like Paul was talking about in his passage, he would say, like, the dishes don't matter. Spend time with Jesus. It's in reality, like, we all do need to wash dishes. If you live at the Maple House, like, please wash your dishes, okay? Like, but there's more important things than that, okay? So number two, we're not going to go through all three, but real quick on number two. Well, here's my number two. Normally, I get places, I'm going so fast. You know, I'm in Walmart, I'm just like trying to get out of there to the next place. I go to a meeting with someone, trying to get to the next thing. I'm so busy, no good conversations happen with strangers. So what I have to do is, I have to tell myself, instead of trying to get a ton of stuff done, I have to stop myself and say I'm going to leave 15 minutes early when I go places. So at least my goal this week is go 15 minutes early so there's space to have those conversations with Jesus. So that was my no. It was no to working to the last minute. Number three was I need to wake up at 6:15 to just do a little creative writing because the kids get up and I got to do a little bit before that, okay? Your no's are going to be different, but fill those out, okay? And don't quit halfway through the race. Like, go ahead and fill those three out because it won't really work if you don't do it. See some folks working. Thank you for doing that. If you're looking at a blank sheet right now, or if you don't even have a sheet right now, or you're looking at blank no's, here's one more tip for you before we go to our last slide. Jesus says in John chapter 1, and he says it again kind of in John chapter 3, that he came as the light of the world, but people a lot of times want to stay in darkness. They don't really want Jesus involved. When somebody puts a challenge to you, maybe you're just like, Jake, this was dumb, and I didn't like it. I'm going to go follow Jesus my own way. That's okay, I guess. But if you're here today and you're like, I'm just too lazy. I just don't care enough. Like, you need to at least know that about yourself. Like, at least bring that into the light so you can know who you are. Like, if you don't know who you are, you're farther away from getting changed. If you'll at least admit to yourself, like, I love Jesus enough to face the snow, okay, that's good. I don't love him enough to write on a sheet of paper. Like, at least you know where you're at. Like, Jesus can start if you'll give him where you're at. You say, like, this is where I'm at, okay? So, last slide, and then we're going to pray out a blessing. Oops, sorry, back to that lady. The hotel analogy, it was kind of silly, kind of stupid. But our life really is like that. Like, when you get to the end of your life, whether you live 25 years or 100 years, you're going to feel like this was really short. When you get to eternity, you're going to feel like, oh, the wallpaper did not matter. You're going to feel like the house that I lived in that I used to stress out about so much didn't really matter. The shoes I wore, the car I drove, all this stuff that I would freak out about didn't really matter. And you're going to look back and you say, God gave me some kairos. God gave me some open doors. And what matters is, did I walk through them or not? So let me pray a blessing. Jesus, I thank you that you are a merciful God. And Jesus, I've pushed today. But Jesus, you're willing to start wherever we're at. And so I pray today, for everybody who has the courage to do one of the things on their list, I pray you would show up in a big way when they do it. Their goal is to be filled with you, Jesus. And God, I pray you, by your mercy, would fill them when they try to reach out to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.